Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Now, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16, The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. So, yeah, so now in the chapter summary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anti Lila Khandas, Chapter 9 to 10, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, one day, when under the order of Sri Advaita Acharya, all the devotees began to glorify the names, qualities, and pastimes of the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, the Acharya began to dance and roar loudly. The Acharya began to dance with the devotees while chanting a song he personally composed about Lord Chaitanya. When Mahaprabhu heard the sound of kirtan and came there, the devotees under the leadership of Advaita Acharya began to glorify Lord Chaitanya's names, form, qualities, and pastimes even more enthusiastically. To protect the mission of his covered incarnation, Mahaprabhu, who is the teacher of all living entities, who accepted the mood of a devotee, left that place and returned to his residence to enact the pastime of going to bed in an angry mood. The devotees, headed by Srivas, went to the Lord's residence, and Mahaprabhu indicated that his identity in his covered incarnation was to remain concealed. In response, Srivas made a gesture of trying to cover the sun with his two hands to show that by covering a self-manifesting object, it could never remain hidden. In fact, even if it were possible to cover the sun with one's hands, it was not possible for Lord Chaitanya to remain hidden, for his glories were spread throughout the entire world. At that time, innumerable devotees from various provinces suddenly arrived there, glorifying the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya, and thereby substantiated the words of Srivas. As a result, Mahaprabhu enhanced the glories of his devotees by accepting defeat. The science of Sri Krishna Chaitanya's position as the origin of all incarnations is accepted through disciplic succession. When he is accepted by personalities like Sri Advaita and Sri Nityananda as the source of all incarnations, and when he exhibits the special characteristics found only in Lord Krishna, then to not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to consider him as something else, is nothing but atheism. Because atheism means it's not theistic, it means it's not according to tattva. Right? It means it's an improper understanding. You know, you can say, I believe in God, but then we don't, if we only believe in some aspect but not others, you know, so it's not properly how the Sampradaya is delivering it, then it has that atheistic aspect to it. Maybe other things may be theistic, but this part then won't be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that makes sense. Because atheistic just means non-theistic. And non-theistic means not according to the personal understanding of that there's a Supreme Personality. When Mahaprabhu inquired from Srivas about the Vaishnava status of Advaita, Srivas said that Sri Advaitacharya was a Vaishnava in the category of Sukadeva and Prahlad. This caused Mahaprabhu to manifest his pastime of anger. In that angry mood, the Lord picked up a fishing rod and was about to beat Srivas. The Lord then revealed that Sri Advaita was the primeval Lord, the source of all ingredients, the supersoul of everyone, and the incarnation of Mahavishnu. Therefore, compared to him, personalities like Sukadeva and Prahlad were nothing but children. The exalted author then provides the inconceivable and unique behavior of the perfected Vaishnavas by relating the incident of Bhrigu described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He concludes this chapter by saying that only by the mercy of Krishna and by taking shelter of Krishna can one realize the difficult to comprehend characteristics of the Vaishnavas.
I'm curious about the fishing rod.
About?
The fishing rod.
The fishing rod. Would you have rather he picked up a rolling pin or frying pan? That's it. One of those ankle-high Converse tennis shoes, because then you can get a good grip. And
they have a fishing rod available in the house.
You're not supposed to have a fishing rod available in the house? You don't have fishing rods available in your house? But see, they're closer to the Ganga, right? You know, you're probably too far away.
He didn't stay long enough in my opinion.
He didn't say
like that. Wait a couple of more years.
Yeah, right.
The fishing rod. It could have been someone else's fishing rod. They just left it at the door. Or, see, is that there's certain bamboos that are used as fishing rods, but they're also very good for other kind of work. Any work that you want to do that you need really straight, thin, very solid bamboo. Then those, like we use them for making the dundas and all that, you know. So, you know, I mean, you want a dunda that looks like this, you know, no one's going to, you know, it's just not going to be cool. I made one once in L.A. We went down at night after the park had closed. They drove a truck in backwards, you know, so you go off the back of the cut bamboo and then leave, you know, because, yeah. So, but that, then the dunda comes out, it's twisted, and it was bent. But of course, the person I gave to, and I think later when I met them at the festival, I said, you know, sorry about that the thing was twisted and bent. And then the Swami said, yeah, a bit like myself. So, yeah. So they have many, many purposes. It's just that's why they're made. And that's why how people then people use them, but other people get them and use them otherwise. Yes?
In all villages, generally they have it on straight rod. Everybody keep it for multiple purposes and also mainly for killing the snakes.
Snakes, okay. Yeah, snakes, getting rid of dogs, rats, you know. Unwelcome relatives. You know, I mean, it has so many purposes.
Maya bodies,
chasing around people that come and say all kinds of funny things. Yeah, because the thing is they're very, very solid, but very small, and you know, so you can easily wield them.
So they're polished and they're nice color.
Yeah, like that. Because they've been. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Then anybody could use it. Because otherwise, these bigger, you know, you could imagine one of those, then, you know, that'd be a little hard to. Like that. One day when Sri Advaitacharya came before Mahaprabhu after taking darshan of Lord Jagannath at the temple, the Lord inquired from Advaita and found out that after Advaita took darshan of Lord Jagannath's face, he had circumambulated Jagannath 5 to 7 times. As a result, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly told Advaitacharya that he was defeated, because in the course of circumambulation, one is unable to see the Lord's face while walking behind the Lord. When Sri Mahaprabhu took darshan of Lord Jagannath, however, his eyes would not wander from Lord Jagannath's face for even a moment. In fact, he could see the moonlight face of Lord Jagannath everywhere. Advaitacharya gladly accepted defeat from Mahaprabhu and said that only Sri Mahaprabhu knew the confidential meaning of such a statement. One day, Garadhar Pandit, the disciple of Pundarika, informed Mahaprabhu that he had forgotten his initiation mantra and desired to hear it from the Lord. But Mahaprabhu replied to Garadhar Pandit that he should wait until Pundarika Vidyaniti came to Neelachal. Mahaprabhu began to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Garadhar Pandit, and in this way he heard the characteristics of Prahlad and Dhruva hundreds of times. While hearing Garadhar's recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srup Damodar's Kirtan, Mahaprabhu simultaneously manifested the 8 transformations of ecstatic love. Among the sannyasis, Sri Srup Damodar and Sri Paramananda Puri were the Lord's principal associates and constant companions. One day when Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed in ecstatic love of God, he fell into a well, and the devotees headed by Advaitacharya pulled the Lord out. When Pundarik arrived at Nilachal, Mahaprabhu cried with love and Gadadhar took mantra initiation again from Vidyanidhi. During the Odan Shasti festival, the servants of Lord Jagannath would dress Lord Jagannath and Balaram with starched cloth. When Pundarik criticized this behavior of Jagannath's servants, Swarup Damodar explained that the characteristics of the Supreme Lord are beyond the jurisdiction of worldly etiquette. But since this did not satisfy Vidyanidhi, Jagannath and Balaram enacted the pastime of slapping Vidyanidhi on his cheeks in a dream in order to destroy the karma, jada, smarta's sinful mentality of criticizing the behavior of the Supreme Lord's servants. The Lord distributes mercy in dreams only to his selected and dear associates. When Vidyanidhi told Swarup Damodar about the dream, they both happily joked with each other. Mahaprabhu used to address Vidyanidhi as Bapa or Father. Vidyanidhi's devotion for the Ganges was genuine and incomparable.
The whole thing about the starch cloth. What was Pundarik Vidyanidhi's?
He was saying because starch cloth is hard to wear. Generally, you get starch cloth, you wash it first, then you wear it. But because they just took the new cloth and immediately gave it to the Lord, then he's criticizing that it should have been washed, it'll be more comfortable. But then, you know, then it's explained that, no, you don't worry about these things. It's beyond, you don't worry about this, because this is the tradition. And so but because he didn't accept it, still, he still thinks it's wrong. Then Jagannath and Baladev themselves personally came and worked it out. Conclusion. The one who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. 65 purport. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnava. The devotee actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. 65 purport. Like you see, the example is Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna has already killed them all, but the glory goes to Arjuna for his effort. Everything is possible for a pure devotee because he acts under the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through his inconceivable energy, a pure devotee can perform tasks that are supposed to be very, very difficult. He can perform tasks not even previously performed by the Lord himself. 67 purport. So the Lord comes, does so many nice pastimes, and then there'll be things that he'll reveal pastimes through the devotees. And that way then there's always something very special. 67 purport. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. Text 42:41. One must have no desire within his heart other than to serve Krishna. On the basis of such a conviction, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. 241 purport. Right, so if it's just about serving Krishna, then you can properly cultivate Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if it's Krishna and something else, one has to be very, very careful, because we see is that with the chanting, the weeds also get watered. And so then if you're not careful, then these weeds get bigger, because you see the talking, the interact, everything's based on the weeds. One cannot be really renounced until one actually becomes disgusted with material activity and sees it as a stumbling block to spiritual advancement. 238 purport. Because that's actual detachment is when there's no interest in the material world. It's not that I gave up this one thing, but there might be something else. Or it's not a thing. It's just the material world. Right? It's not a particular engagement of the senses. It's engagement of the senses in material activities. But when that's done, then you see, then the other part comes very easy. Because then you're absorbed in Krishna. It's about Krishna. Why not? Because you want to engage the senses to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So because of that, you're not interested in the material.
So Maharaj, the intent is the most important thing.
Yeah, maybe one won't not be there, but that's one's determination. And that's why it said before, is that when that's your focus, then it will go very nicely. Because whatever you focus on, that's what will develop.
Yes.
So if you're focused on pure devotion, then that will develop. But if you're focused on other things, that will develop also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so depending upon, you might get distracted. Right? If you can connect everything to Krishna, you'll be purified, so naturally there'll be advancement. But the point is, coming to pure devotion is going to be because of that commitment. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen by accident.
Yes.
So, yeah. At any moment, all one's material opulence can be finished. Therefore, a devotee is never proud of such opulence. Right? Because it's not his, and it's not his special thing. Because just as he may have put it there, and you're saying, that's why you're so proud, but at the same time, it can all be finished. In a moment, you know, like that. So then, how great is it? You know, so that's the whole point, is that what's there, the situation is there, you're connected to Krishna, use it for Krishna. If things change, you use that situation for Krishna. And if it doesn't change, then you go on serving Krishna.
When the body asks Srila Prabhupada, how can I give up my natural desires? Srila Prabhupada said, it's not possible. You're in a material world. You can't give up natural desires. Get attached to Krishna.
Yes. Yeah, because the whole, that means you're attached to Krishna, you're not attached to something else. Krishna, you have a higher taste, the lower will go. But if you try to get rid of the lower taste on its own, you can't do it because the senses have to come in contact with the sense object.
Even on the most subtle platform.
Yes, yes, yes. No, it's all... So the point is that's why he's saying you're giving up the interest in material existence. And how? By being absorbed in Krishna. So when it says that that you're able to give that up, then that's where it's going to be very nicely to advance nicely. But that means then you're absorbed in Krishna, like the first one. Right? Where was it? Yeah. On the basis of such a conviction, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. Having that conviction, then the desire for the material world can go away. This idea of cultivating the material platform and so it'll be nicer, then it's not exactly. Because many times the mistake's being made that, yes, we want to get rid of the sinful, you know, activities, sinful desires, sinful reactions, you know, sinful this, sinful that. But you also want to get rid of the pious. Because pious desires make you interested in enjoyment. Yeah, sinful then more, you know, sin. But the point is nice arrangements are also enjoyment. You know, so if one comes from a background where enjoyment means sin, you know, you put the two together. But as one becomes purified, then if one thinks that, but if I cultivate nice things, then that's all right. That's spirit, because I'm not doing sinful stuff because of spiritual life. And so, therefore, you know, we're making nice arrangements with Krishna. So if we make nice arrangements, you know, in general, on the material platform, then that's spiritual, because the only reason I'm doing that is because of the spiritual. But it has to be the intent of that is spiritual. Then it will give that effect. Otherwise, you can get distracted, and it'll just mean nicer sense gratification. So one has to be careful. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the way it is with all the things that we do. We see it in context of Krishna. It's spiritual. It doesn't matter, you know, at all that people may say, oh, that's not Vedic, that's not this and that, and oh, that was introduced by the moguls. And it doesn't matter. If this is what the acharyas have given us, we're following because they're pleased with it and that pleases Krishna. That's what we're going to do. And we couldn't care less what some historian says, right? Historian's a mundane guy with mundane senses that makes mistakes, illusion, cheating, you know, like this. And so we're going to listen to them. When Prabhupada says, this is what we're doing, and someone else says, no, but in the history it's this and it's that, and that's not actually Vedic. It's like, we couldn't care less. As it said before, atheistic statements, we couldn't care less about. If it's not supporting the Lord and the Acharyas, what they've said, it's atheistic. Because what's the purpose of it? Purpose of its material attachment. Therefore, we couldn't care less. As Prabhupada says, we kick on their face. Yes, with the boots. That's the time for boots, right? You know. But I would suggest lace them all the way up. Don't just lace them up to the ankle and that, because when you kick, they might fall off. It won't work as good. Yeah, just lace them right up. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that the Krishna consciousness is a serious point. We're here, it's coming down from the spiritual world. We take it as it's given to us from the spiritual world. Because they say this and that, and then you check into history, it changes. You check more, that changes again. So who cares for all that? What's given, that's what you follow. You please Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You please the historian, what are you going to get? Yeah. You know? So one has to be very careful. You know, some will say, oh, but you're not using your intelligences. How is that not using the intelligence? Isn't it more intelligent to follow those who are liberated that don't make mistakes than to follow those who are conditioned who makes mistakes? Now, that, you know, would you rather be on the boat, you know, that is the, that's given by parampara, you know, with the favorable winds of the instructions of the Lord and all that, or do you want to hold on to the tail of a dog? That's your alternative, literally. So that's the whole point. Hands down, we'll take the boat given by the spiritual master. We couldn't care less about anyone who prefers a dog. Literally. You know? I mean, it'll be painful. No one wants to hear this. But the whole point is, and we don't want to hear mundane discussions and criticism of the parampara either. You know? We don't want to be a victim of material consciousness. Even though they feel they're the social victim and deserve their material justice, but we're just avoiding. And sometimes you have to throw your, how you say, what is it? What's it called? Something into the ring. You know, it means you have to put down which side you're on. You know, this tiptoeing around and trying to please everybody, but we have to remember Krishna is the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's the Sarva Loka Maheshwara. He's the enjoyer. That's you understand that, then it moves forward. But if you think, no, I'm the friend of everybody, then hey, okay, go ahead, be a friend of everybody. We'd rather be friends with Krishna and his associates. So pick your side. Like that. Although the Lord wants to give all credit to his devotee, the devotee never takes credit. For he acts only under the Lord's direction. Consequently, all credit goes to the Lord. This is the nature of the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord wants to give all credit to his servant, but the servant does not take any credit. For he knows that everything is carried out by the Lord. 67 purport. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. If we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna conscious movement can advance. An even more difficult task can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. Like people say, oh, this is all impossible and all that. No. These amazing things can be done. How is it one old man, you know, goes on a boat with 40 rupees and lands in Boston and he changes the world? And then we're saying, oh, you can't do that. And or think, oh, yeah, you could do that then because there was those fabulous, glorious, you know, already transcendental hippies that probably just had to come along and go, hey, Jagannath's over here, you know, stop looking over there. And they all, yes, Hari Bol, because without them, you know, Prabhupada would never have been successful. You know? Or was it because he stepped foot on the shores up there, then people's consciousness already started to change. So the credit goes to Srila Prabhupada. And then if you want, you take part in that. But to say, oh, you can't do that, that's impossible. That's, what is it? Isn't there a saying? Impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary? Yeah. So that's the whole thing is, yeah, we don't know how it'll do, but we try to follow. Prabhupada didn't know, and he tried to follow, and look at the results. And if others want to, you know, criticize or, you know, follow their own path, then come on. The material world's big enough for everybody. You know, you don't have to worry. You know, we don't want to cramp anyone's style. They feel, no, I want to stay here. You're getting in the way of my wanting to be here. No, we don't want to do that. But if you want to go back to Godhead, this is how to go. You can't make up your own system. If one is purified, that's 65 purport. If one is purified by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders, that is, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one must certainly be eager to render service to the Lord. This is the test. When one engages enthusiastically in the Lord's service, it is to be understood that he is reaping the results of chanting the names of Krishna and Hari, 188. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the results of his activities. 65 per point. Sorry? For me, it's finished. There's two more pages for everybody else. But,
but I think there is nothing for him.
For him, no. It's just...
You have not been selected.
Yes, sorry. Well, it depends by which definition. Madhyalila, no, there's still more.
Two more.
Madhyalila is the biggest of them. Adhyalila is small. Antyalila is also quite small. It's bigger, but I think the stories go quite quickly like that. Or they're...
Antyalila is probably...
Yeah, so that'll all be, you know, nice topics. It's all about the... like that. And but it ends with Shikshastaka, so that might be a big... So, Lord travels to Vrindavan and meets with Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, chapter 17 through 20. So, chapter 17, the Lord travels to Vrindavan. Then you have traveling through the Jayakanda jungle, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brief visit to Varanasi, the Lord continues towards Mathura and the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Then chapter 18, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Sri Vrindavan. Then the glories of Radhakund, Shamakund, and Giri Govardhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues his tour of Vrindavan. The Kaliyadhana incident. Balabhadra Bhattacharya becomes overwhelmed by the growing crowd. The Patana Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya continues towards Prayag. Yeah, the Patans. Yeah, means the Afghanis. Okay. Chapter 19. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami leave their governmental posts. Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam meet the Lord in Prayag. The characteristics of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami about Bhakti Rasa. Lord Chaitanya returns to Varanasi. Chapter 20. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Srila Sanatan Goswami makes his way to Varanasi. A lesson in detachment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sri Krishna and his expansions. Chapter 17, the Lord travels to Vrindavan. Pratigya, those who follow social customs and behavior forget to follow the path. Those who follow social customs and behavior forget to follow the path chalked out by the Mahajans. Exactly as we were saying before. Thus they are offenders at the feet of the Mahajans. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of the 17th chapter is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya. After attending the Rath Yatra ceremony of Sri Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to start for Vrindavan. Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Damodar Goswami selected a Brahmana named Balabhadra Bhattacharya to personally assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was the one overwhelmed by the crowds. Okay. Early in the morning before sunrise, the Lord started for the town of Cuttack. North of Cuttack, he penetrated a dense forest and came upon many tigers and elephants who he engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Whenever the Lord had a chance to visit a village, Balabhadra Bhattacharya would beg alms and acquire some rice and vegetables. If there were no village, Balabhadra would cook whatever rice remained and collect some spinach from the forest for the Lord to eat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the behavior of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. In this way, the Lord passed through the jungle of Jarikanda and finally reached Varanasi. After taking his bath at the Manikarnika Ghat at Varanasi, he met Tapan Misra, who took the Lord to his place and respectfully gave him a comfortable residence. At Varanasi, Vaidya Chandrasekara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's old friend, also rendered service unto him. Seeing the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a Maharashtrian Brahma informed Prakashananda Saraswati, the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Prakashananda made various accusations against the Lord. The Maharashtrian Brahmana was very sorry about this, and he brought the news to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inquiring from him why the Mayavadi sannyasis did not utter the holy name of Krishna. In reply, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that they were offenders and that we should not associate with them. In this way, the Lord bestowed his blessings upon the Brahmana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next passed through Prayag and Mathura and then took his lunch at the home of a Sanodiya Brahmana, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He bestowed his blessings upon the Brahmana by accepting lunch at his place. Thereafter, the Lord visited the 12 forests of Vrindavan and was filled with great ecstatic love. As he toured the Vrindavan forest, he heard the chirping of parrots and other birds. Shloka Nisharana. Verses 1 to 81, traveling through the Jarikanda jungle. 82 to 146, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brief visit to Varanasi. 147 to 155, the Lord continues towards Mathura. 156 to 234, Mathura and the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Verses 1 to 81, traveling through the Jarikanda forest, jungle, excuse me. 27, 114. So jungle just means anything that's not properly kept and nice and like that. So, you know, what happens when you come outside in that corner, that's jungle. You know, in the West, maybe it doesn't go like that, but over here, you don't take care of it, it becomes jungle. And then when you have it, you know, very, you know, big area, it's more of a jungle.
One interesting thing is, whatever parts are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, more or less still India, the pathways are like that. There are not many new pathways created also. Because maybe because of the hills, whatever, the demographic location.
Yeah. Yeah, hills, but also is that your main path is it means that there is, of course, you're going up through, you're going along the path of the Ganga. You know, so because the Ganga goes all, you just, if you walk along the path of the, you know, you go here and just walk, keep walking, you'll get to Vrindavan.
Yes.
You know, like that. I mean, you have to split off and go that the Jamuna side rather than the Ganga side. But the point is you can get to Delhi, you can get to there, you know, it's like, so everything's along the major rivers, so that will be one aspect. Two is, like you said, there's the mountains right in the middle, so you either have to go above or below, like that. And then there's, and then going through the jungle, then Lord Chaitanya can do that because he gets all the animals to chant and dance, so it works out very nice. He also did, okay, yeah. 217, 1 to 14. On his way to Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the forest of Jarikanda and made all the tigers, elephants, deer, and birds chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and dance. Thus, all these animals were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. When autumn arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan. In a solitary place, he consulted with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Lord requested Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami to help him go to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I shall leave early in the morning and go incognito. Taking the road through the forest, I shall go alone. I shall not take anyone with me. If someone wants to follow me, please stop him. I do not want anyone to go with me. Please give me your permission with great pleasure and do not be unhappy. If you are happy, I shall be happy on my way to Vrindavan." Upon hearing this, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, "Dear Lord, you are completely independent since you are not dependent on anyone. You will do whatever you desire. Dear Lord, kindly hear our one petition. You have already said that you will derive happiness from our happiness. This is your own statement. If you will please accept just one request, we shall be very, very happy. Okay. Our Lord, please take one very nice Brahmana with you. He will collect alms for you, cook for you, give you prasadam, and carry your water pot while traveling. When you go through the jungle, there will be no Brahmana available from whom you can accept lunch. Therefore, please give permission for at least one pure Brahmana to accompany you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I shall not take any of my associates with me, because if I choose someone, all the others will be unhappy." Whoever he chooses. So it has to be someone who's not, you know, like within that category. "Such a person must be a new man, and he must have a peaceful mind. If I can obtain such a man, I shall agree to take him with me." Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, a Brahmana named Kala Krishnadas went with him. Kala Krishnadas fell victim to a woman, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to take the trouble to free her from the clutches of the gypsies. Therefore, the Lord says that he wants a new man who is peaceful in mind. One whose mind is not peaceful is agitated by certain drives, especially sex desire, even though he may be in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a man will become a victim of women and will fall down even in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya is so strong that unless one is determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot give him protection, because Krishna reciprocates. You surrender, he'll protect you. You don't surrender, then he watches. He's the witness. The Supreme Lord and his representative always want to give protection, but a person must take advantage of their personal contact. One thinks that the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative is an ordinary man, he will certainly fall down. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want a person like Kala Krishnadas to accompany him. He wanted someone who was determined, who had a peaceful mind, and who was not agitated by ulterior motives. Verse 2:17-15. Swarup Damodar then said, "Here is Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who has great love for you. He is an honest, learned scholar, and he has advanced in spiritual consciousness." Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted a new man, not a person like Kala Krishnadas, who would fall for women. Swarup Damodar therefore immediately pointed out a new Brahmana named Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami had studied this person very thoroughly and had seen that he had great love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only did he love the Lord, but he was also learned and honest. He was not duplicitous, and he was advanced in Krishna consciousness. According to a Bengali proverb, "Ati bhakti korera lakshana." Ati bhakti chorera lakshana. I get it. Ati bhakti chorera lakshana. Okay. I knew the. When you see it like this, you don't always. No? Too much devotion is a symptom of a thief. Yes. Like that. A person who assumes himself to be a great devotee but mentally is thinking of something else is duplicitous. So that's what he meant before. He's not duplicitous. He's just focused on. One who is not duplicitous is called sadhu. Shrub Damodar immediately pointed out that Balabhadra Bhattacharya was quite fit to accompany the Lord because he was a learned scholar and was simple and had great love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also advanced in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he was considered appropriate for accompanying the Lord as a personal servant. The words snigda, very peaceful, and susnigda, affectionate, are used in verses 14 and 15 respectively. And they are also found in Srimad Bhagavatam 118. Bruhyu snigdhasya shishyasya guravo guhyam apyuta. A disciple who has actual love for a spiritual master is endowed by the blessings of the spiritual master with all confidential knowledge. Srila Sridhar Swami has condemned the word, Srila Sridhar Swami has commented that the word snigdhasya means premavata. The word premavata indicates one who has great love for the spiritual master. Yeah. 2:17, 16-31. Srila Swarup Damodar continued, "In the beginning he came with you from Bengal. It is his desire to visit and see all the holy places of pilgrimage. In addition, you may take another Brahmin who will act as a servant en route and make arrangements for your food. You can also take him with you. We will be very happy. If two people go with you through the jungle, there will certainly be no difficulty or inconvenience. The other Brahmin can carry your cloth and water pot, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya will collect alms and cook for you." Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the request of Sri Damodar and agreed to take Balabhadra Bhattacharya with him. Right, so they said, "We just have one request, you just take this one person with you, and so he'll do all these things." So then, so this person will go with you, he'll do this, and while you're on the way, you can pick up another person, because two people traveling with you would be the best. Start off with the one, and yes, and so that... You know.
The third person was to be completely inconspicuous, quiet, to do your thing.
Yeah, no, stay out of the way.
Step out of the way.
Yeah.
Speak.
Yeah. But it's just interesting how he wanted to take nobody, and they were saying take one person, but they end up working it out, he takes two.
Right? You know.
Yeah, but like you said, the Balabhadra Bhattacharya will be the one he'll interact with, the other one then just as assistant to him.
His name is also not mentioned.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. And so he's just an extension of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. On the previous night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited Lord Jagannath and taken his permission. Now, near the end of night, the Lord got up and started immediately. He was not seen by others. Because the Lord had departed, the devotees, unable to see him early in the morning, began to search for him with great anxiety. Right, so he got up early, you know, took his bath and that, and then just left. Because normally he would get up, go see the temple. You know, if you went and saw Jagannath, and then after that, then it's time to go. The devotees are there, and it would have been it would have been very difficult to leave. So Lord Chaitanya, that evening before, had already taken permission from Jagannath, and so then he just got up early and left. While the devotees were searching for the Lord, Swarup Damodar restrained them. Then everyone fell silent, knowing the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So they're all looking, where is he? Some anxiety, but then when he's restrained by Swarup Damodar, because if it was a problem, Swarup Damodar would have been also looking.
Yes.
You know? If he was there. You know? Like when he was disappeared and he's on down on the beach, and that Swarup Damodar is also going. But here he's restraining them, then they all know, oh. The Lord abandoned walking on the well-known public road and went instead along a bypass. He thus kept the city of Cuttack on his right as he entered the forest. When the Lord, because Cuttack will be up north going towards Bengal, but he kept it on the right and then went to Jharkhand.
Going towards the middle.
Sorry?
Going towards the middle.
Yes. Jharkhand is still to the right of...
Yeah.
Of the Mainaka and all those guys, no? Not Mainaka's in the ocean. Who's it? Who's it? Who are the ones there?
Who's that?
The mountains there.
Vindhya,
yeah. So they're still to the right of the Vindhya. Okay, you just go by that. When the Lord passed through the solitary forest chanting the holy name of Krishna, the tigers and elephants seeing him gave way. Right? So then they see him, they just kind of step to the side. When the Lord passed through the jungle in great ecstasy, packs of tigers, elephants, rhinoceroses, and boars came, and the Lord passed right through them. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was very much afraid to see them, but by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence, all the animals stood to one side. One day a tiger was lying on the path, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, walking along the path in ecstatic love, touched the tiger with his feet. The Lord said, "Chant the holy name of Krishna." The tiger immediately got up and began to dance and chant Krishna. That's the other thing. If Balabhadra didn't go, we might not know all these details. That's also, you know, the Lord's arrangement with the devotees.
When Madhvacharya went, then
he killed
one tiger.
Yeah, he just goes through. Yeah, so this is yeah, because Bhima likes doing that, you know. But because they're killed by a, you know, such, you know, the Acharya like that, they'll get liberated. So that's what it said, the Pandavas, they go out and hunt. But all those animals, they get liberated. You know, so. Another day, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing in a river, a herd of maddened elephants came there to drink water. While the Lord was bathing and murmuring the Gayatri Mantra, the elephants came before him. The Lord immediately splashed some water on the elephants and asked them to chant the name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing the part of a great, very great advanced devotee. On the Mahabhagavat platform, the devotee makes no distinction between friends and enemies. On that platform, he sees everyone as a servant of Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapake Cha Panditas Samadarshinaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. And Mahabhagavat, being learned and advanced in spiritual consciousness, sees no difference between a tiger, an elephant, or a learned scholar. Right? They're all soul. They're all servants of Krishna. The test of advanced spiritual consciousness is that one becomes fearless. He envies no one, and he is always engaged in the Lord's service. He sees every living entity as an eternal part and parcel of the Lord, rendering service to his capacity by the will of the Supreme Lord. As Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Mattas mritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Mahabhagavat knows that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is dictating, and the living entity is following his dictations. Krishna is within the heart of the tiger, elephant, and boar. Therefore, Krishna tells them, "Here is a Mahabhagavat, please do not disturb him." Why then should the animals be envious of such a great personality? Those who are neophytes or even a little progressed in devotional service should not try to imitate the Mahabhagavat. Rather, they should only follow in the footsteps. The word anukara means imitating, and anusara means trying to follow in the footsteps. We should not try to imitate the activities of a Mahabhagavat or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our best efforts should be exerted in trying to follow them according to our ability. The Mahabhagavat's heart is completely freed from material contamination, and he can become very dear to even fierce animals like tigers and elephants. Indeed, the Mahabhagavat treats them as his very intimate friends. On this platform, there is no question of envy. When the Lord was passing through the forest, he was in ecstasy, thinking the forest to be Vrindavan. He was simply searching for Krishna. Right? So the platform there is that we follow in the footsteps of such personalities. Like that. Yeah. So it means they're going to, they see his great friend, but they're going to interact according to what they are. Like that. At the same time as, you know, how they're engaged, what service they're doing. Because, yes. But if one's not on that platform, then you act in according to what is the religious principle of every, you know, the different living entities, and that, then that's how you'll deal and have everything like that. So then you're going to be more careful. Does that make sense? Because, yeah, you have to be. 2:17, 32, 39. The elephants whose bodies were touched by the water, splashed by the Lord, began to chant Krishna, Krishna, and dance and sing in ecstasy. Some of the elephants fell to the ground, and some screamed in ecstasy. Seeing this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was completely astonished. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted very loudly while passing through the jungle. Hearing his sweet voice, all the does came near him. Hearing the Lord's great vibration, all the does followed him, left and right. While reciting a verse with great curiosity, the Lord patted them. Blessed are all these foolish deer, because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and playing on his flute. Indeed, both the does and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. Footnote 1. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:21-11, spoken by the gopis of Vrindavan. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the jungle, five or seven tigers came, joining the deers. The tigers began to follow the Lord. Seeing the tigers and deer following him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered the land of Vrindavan. He then began to recite a verse describing the transcendental quality of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. There is no hunger, anger, or thirst there. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. Because they all do their service for Krishna, and the humans do theirs. So everyone renders service in their own way. Right? So it's not that they can't tell the difference. It's just that, no, that they're all devotees and they're all serving the Lord. And so they'll all serve in their own way. You know, so the cows, they serve in their way, the tigers another, the deer in another, the parrots in another. Like that. Right? Does that make sense? Like, you get the parrots to take messages, not the cows. You know? So, like that, you know, it's just that. Srila Prabhupada. This is a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13:60. After stealing the cowherd boys and calves of Sri Krishna, Lord Brahma kept them asleep and hid them. After a moment, Brahma returned to see Krishna's condition. When he saw that Krishna was still busy with his cowherd boyfriends and animals and was not disturbed, Lord Brahma appreciated the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. 2:17, 40-45. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Chant Krishna, Krishna," the tigers and deer began to chant Krishna and dance. When all the tigers and does danced and jumped, Balabhadra Bhattacharya saw them and was struck with wonder. Indeed, the tigers and deers began to embrace one another, and touching mouths, they began to kiss. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all this fun, he began to smile. Finally, he left the animals and continued on his way. Various birds, including the peacock, saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to follow him, chanting and dancing. They were all maddened by the holy name of Krishna. When the Lord loudly chanted Hari Bol, the trees and creepers became jubilant to hear him. Srila Prabhupada. The loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that it can even penetrate the ears of trees and creepers. What to speak of those of animals and human beings? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once asked Haridas Thakur how trees and plants would be delivered. And Haridas Thakur replied that the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra would benefit not only trees and plants, but insects and all other living entities. One should therefore not be disturbed by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna, for it is beneficial not only to the chanter, but to everyone else who gets an opportunity to hear. 2:17, 46. Thus all living entities in the forest of Jarikanda, some moving and some standing still, became maddened by hearing the holy name of Lord Krishna vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, the greatest forest of Jarikanda is a great tract of land including Ataganda, Denka Nala, Angula, Lahara, Kiyanjara, Bhamada, Bonai, Gangapura, Chota Nagpura, Yashapura, and Shara Gunja. All these places, which are covered with mountains and jungles, are known as Jarikanda. So that's now its own state, no? Mm. This whole, all these areas are all now?
I think it will fall both in Bihar and Jharkhand.
Okay, in those days it goes up into there. Okay.
So it's not only forest, people are living there.
Yeah, there's some, you know, there's some places that there's like that. That's why it says sometimes when they came to villages or that. So it must be on you know, certain places, like some lakes or some rivers or like that. Then there'll be some people. But they'll be small. Sorry?
Is it still like that?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's so developed.
It's not developed at all. Like, most part of Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, it's still like that.
Yeah,
but it
means the forest. Oh, wow.
If you look at the map,
okay, so the state's smaller then. Okay, so the state's smaller then. Okay. I think a lot of times when they split these states up, it's into an area that is not very developed, that's getting so much benefit from the area that is developed. And the one that is developed doesn't appreciate that. Though the one that's not developed is very, very happy with the arrangement. And so I think a lot of the states, when they split, this is one of the... Yeah.
You pass through a little when you take a train to get Delhi. In the initial part, when we cross Vardhaman and we are moving, and we move through the forest a little bit, like when you go inside the tunnels and then...
Oh. Oh, so that's... okay.
That's it.
And then it goes up into Bihar.
Yeah.
Okay.
We move a little off, but almost like we move through the forest.
Wow. 2:17:47-49. In all the villages through which the Lord passed, and in all the places he rested on his journey, everyone is purified and awakened to a static love of God. When someone heard the chanting of the holy name from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone else heard this chanting from that second person, and someone again heard this chanting from the third person, everyone in all countries became a Vaishnava through such disciplic succession. Thus, everyone chanted the holy name of Krishna and Hari, and they danced, cried, and smiled. Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is herein explained. First, the holy name is vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then someone hears from him directly. He is purified. Then another person hears from that person. He is also purified. In this way, the purification process is advanced among pure devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one can claim his potency. Nonetheless, if one is a pure devotee, hundreds and thousands of men can be purified by his vibration. This potency is within every living being, provided he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly and without material motives. When a pure devotee chants offenselessly, another person will become a Vaishnava. And from him, another Vaishnava will emerge. This is the Parampara system. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's important to understand it's that aspect of pure devotion, that interest to please the Lord and the Vaishnavas and that. That's what the potency is. Mm-hmm. It's not due to the particular time, place, circumstance, or the location or anything like that. Because you see, in the cities it works... He's in south, it works. He's in the east, it works. He's in the north. Wherever he goes, it works. You know, so one could say, oh, but that's Lord Chaitanya. But then we see, no, it keeps going down. That's why they mention it. Mm-hmm. Like that, maybe others aren't getting tigers to chant. Yes. That Lord Chaitanya is. You know, but the humans, then it's working in that way. So that it's an important thing to appreciate. That there's no material situation that it won't work. To 17:50-51. The Lord did not always manifest his ecstasy. Being afraid of a great assembly of people, the Lord kept his ecstasy concealed. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his natural ecstatic love, everyone became a pure devotee simply by seeing and hearing him. Right, so if he's just chanting and moving nicely, then there won't be that aspect of his ecstatic emotions, and that won't pull the crowds. But here, they'll see, they'll appreciate, they'll hear, they'll become purified like that. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mahavaranyaya Avatara. the most munificent incarnation. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not physically present now, simply by chanting his holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhara, Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda, people throughout the world are becoming devotees. This is due to the ecstatic chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It is said that a pure devotee can see the Lord at every moment, and because of this, he is empowered by the Lord. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjanach churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, but it cannot be said that now the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is less than it was in his presence. By hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Parampara system, one can become purified. Therefore, in this verse it is said, Tatapi Tara Darshana Shravana Prabhave. It is not that everyone is able to see Krishna or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu physically, but if one hears about him through books like Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and through the Parampara system of pure Vaishnavas, there's no difficulty in becoming a pure Vaishnava, free from mundane desires and personal motivations. Right? So that's the point. A pure Vaishnava, free from mundane desire and personal motivations. That's not why he's doing anything. He's doing things to please Krishna, to please Guru. So he may know he has material desires, but that's not his motive for doing devotional service. Right? And there's nothing himself to gain from that devotional service on the material platform. That makes the pure devotee. That's why you can see is that there can be first, second, third, like this. Right? 2:17, 52-53. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally toured Bengal, East Bengal, Orissa, and the southern countries, and he delivered all kinds of people by spreading Krishna consciousness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jarikanda on his way to Mathura, he found that the people there were almost uncivilized and were devoid of God consciousness. Right? So, but it's still working. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada. The word bhilla refers to a class of men belonging to the bhils. Or the bhils. How do you say? You know? No? Bhils. The bhils are like black Africans, and they are lower than Shudras. Such people generally live in the jungle, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to meet them. Right, so then he goes through, and he's then getting them to chant and everything, and they're all in this way then becoming absorbed in love of God.
Billa.
Billa, yeah.
They call it Billa.
Billa. But he said belongs to the Bheels. Billa. 2:17, 54-60. So you can see now how they're comfortable out there in the forest. Like that. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave even the bhils an opportunity to chant the holy name and come to the platform of static love. Thus he delivered all of them. Who has the power to understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the Jarikanda forest, he took it for granted that it was Vrindavan. When he passed over the hills, he took it for granted that they were Govardhan. Similarly, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a river, he immediately accepted it as the river Jamuna. Thus, while in the forest, he was filled with great ecstatic love, and he danced and fell down crying. Along the way, Balabhadra Bhattacharya collected all kinds of spinach, roots, and fruit whenever possible. Whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited a village, a few Brahmins, 5 or 7, would come and extend invitations to the Lord. Some people would bring grain and deliver it to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Others would bring milk and yogurt, and still others would bring ghee and sugar. In some villages, there were no brahmanas. Nonetheless, devotees born in non-Brahman families came and extended invitations to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Srila Prabhupada. Actually, a sannyasi or brahmana will not accept an invitation extended by a person born in a lower family. However, there are many devotees who are raised to the platform of brahmana by their initiation. These people are called Shudra Mahajana. This indicates that one who is born in a non-Brahman family has accepted the Brahmana status by initiation. Such devotees extended invitations to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. A Mayavadi sannyasi will accept an invitation only from a Brahmana family, but a Vaishnava does not accept an invitation from a Brahman if he does not belong to the Vaishnava sect. However, a Vaishnava will accept an invitation from a Brahman or Shudra Mahajan. That person is an initiated Vaishnava. Right? So the Mayavadi sannyasis, it will only be Brahmins. Like that. But for the Vaishnava, then amongst Brahmins, only Vaishnavas, but he'll accept from any properly initiated Vaishnav, you know, if they're you know, properly practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's much, much broader. Yes, I mean, it means their lifestyle is more purified. They're generally speaking not performing any sinful activities and all that. Because when you accept this invitation, then you know you accept the you know whatever is coming in the way of consciousness and those things like that. So then the Brahmins will always be just they're more thinking about your practical points, your mantras, and your pujas and yajnas, and the cleanliness and the regulation is there, and so that's the advantage. But here we're seeing is that even amongst those, then the Vaishnava Brahmins will be the appropriate, because then they're Krishna conscious. Then those who are lower, because they're Krishna conscious, then that's the whole point of the Brahman position, is to get to the position of Krishna consciousness. The perfection of Brahmanism is Krishna consciousness. So if someone's Krishna conscious, then it's already been obtained. You know, we see basic cleanliness is there, and so like that, and so it works. So that's the idea. Yes.
South, when Ramanacharya initiated many other castes into second initiation like that, and over a period of time, only the Vaishyas took it like seriously and followed it as a tradition, and they continued it. So the Shudras and everybody left.
So they didn't continue the practice.
Yeah, as a tradition in their line.
Oh, so the family members didn't take it up.
Yes. So still now, wherever any South Indian holy place you go, there is this Arya Vaishya Samaj. Arya Vaishyas, they have their own places and all.
Okay.
Those who follow
their followers are Ramanujacharya.
I didn't understand. Who didn't take it up?
He was saying that Ramanujacharya, then he initiated, you know, people, devotees, you know, that were not necessarily from Brahmin backgrounds. But he was saying that with time, as the generations went, only the Vaishyas kept up the tradition of them following and then taking initiation in the Sri line. And the others, you know, they may have been themselves, but it didn't continue. So he's saying that they to now you can still go and they have their own Arya Vaishya
community.
And so they're all Sri Vaishnavas, but they're you know from the business background.
They cook without onion, garlic.
So they're all.
They just fall almost like us, and then because they're not Brahmins, they don't worship Shali Brahmins.
Okay.
As a tradition, but just all regulations they follow.
So it's just like the twelves.
So Maharshi Niskan Srila Prabhupada mainly.
I mean, yes, you could say. I would probably move up to the next one where he mentioned about the word Bila. I would probably go with that group more.
Bila Mahajan.
No?
Before,
and even that's probably good, because he knows they mentioned the 12 tribes of that are lower than Shudras, and then after the end of that, then the last point after mentioning the 12, he says or lower. So generally we kind of that's where we get our honorable mention, squeak in.
But yes, there is a progression. We start by the animals.
Yes, I says anything in between. So he's getting all the animals and all that. So, yeah. So it says you have the animals, and the bilas, so anything in between. So, well, there's a spot for us. Yeah, so the point is, if someone's a devotee, then it's accepting prasad from them is a proper practice. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted invitations from Shudra Mahajanas. And this confirms the fact that anyone initiated by a Vaishnav mantra can be accepted as a Brahmana. One can accept an invitation from such a person. Right? So it doesn't matter. You don't worry about those things. See, as for us, in Daiva Varna Ashram, the concept of Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra is only for occupation. It's just that what works you'll do. So it's just for maintaining the body. Sorry?
You mentioned that it's for Daiva Varna Ashram, but for everybody else?
Everybody else, then they either follow scientifically Varna Ashram or not.
No, I meant, what's their point in following Varna Ashram? For us, it's
It's pious. Means Varna Ashram will be God's law on how human beings live in this world. You know, just like God's laws, or, you know, whatever is out, you know, here, like modern science based on the Lord's laws. So it's just you follow the laws, you get the proper result. You know, it's science. So Varnashram is Krishna's laws on how human beings interact with each other and all that. And so that's the detail. So it just gives the proper culture, the etiquette, you know, the attitudes, you know, the worship of the Lord, worship of the Vaishnavas, worship of the Brahmins, these kind of things. That's what's then defined by Varnashram. Now you can follow it just for piety and the material benefits you get from it. But for the devotees, it's just the natural social system that everybody, in whatever their position, they can work together. So the thing that holds everybody together is, one, they're all serving Krishna. So that's the main thing. And then as far as their personal life goes, that's the ashram side. So that from that side, everybody's practicing their sadhana. They're all worshipping the deities. They're all, you know, they're engaged in Krishna service. So in that way, that's where the social scene happens. Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya means in the workplace what you do. You know, so that's going to identify there. But the social interaction is not based on that. It's based on the ashram side. So that's for us, Daiva Varna Ashram. So that's why we don't have a problem with it. Some say, oh, but we're not the body, this and that. But that's okay. That's correct. We're not the body. But we do have to acknowledge that the soul working within the body has to work with the facilities that the body has to offer. And so accordingly, that's what Varna Ashram decides. What your body can do. What things you can engage your body in to maintain yourself. Right? And then from the Bhagavat and the Pancharatrik, you know, like that, you know, and the Vedic formula, but basically, then that's how the ashram's going on. Because we follow ashram based on basically the Pancharatrik and the Bhagavat. You know, you have some of the form is that is going to be Vedic, but the point is that, you know, what's been given by the acharyas, that much we're following. You know, but already getting up Brahma Muhurta, taking your bath, going to the temple, you know, chanting, taking darshan, taking charinamrita, taking prasad, you know, like that, doing your particular activities during the day, whatever's your occupation. These are all pancharatra. Then that occupation, that if it's in the deities, then that will be controlled by pancharatra. If it's not, then that's controlled by the Vedic. Mm. So that's there. But the lifestyle at home and in the community, it's pancharatric. Daiva Varna Ashram give the form to it. But not understanding what is religion and what's that, then sometimes people are a bit wary of it, because you know it appears to be different from what they've grown up in, and so then they're because of social status, you know, they can't tolerate, you know, it's like what was it? I think in South America. There was a city there in South America that when the conquistadors went down there, they found it was more opulent than Europe.
Inca?
It might have been Incas, but there was something there. Everything was just
Incas. They say the gold from Incas.
Yeah, it was Mayans. The Mayans. It was like they had never seen such opulence, you know. And the Europeans pride themselves in opulence. But in those days, they didn't have that much opulence. You know, now it'd be a little bit more after collecting, going out and collecting, you know.
Reliable sources.
Yes. And so then, when then that news went back to Europe, and then it was the order was given to go there, and sack the place, and bring whatever of value back to Europe. And so that's the whole thing: is that it's a general material propensity that no one wants to be wrong, no one can tolerate that anyone's better. That's just general. Every living entity is like that. But you see that it's especially heightened in the kind of European culture. You know? So you're going to have that aspect that no one wants to be the Shudra. And so then it becomes a problem. While here it's just how you make your money. That's all. Does that make sense? So all it is a given. If more doing intellectual kind of work, like he's, you know, teaching or law or medicine like that, and then people say, yeah, okay, no problem, like that. Or yeah, he's more administrative kind of working in government and things like that. That's fine. Oh no, he's in business or in commerce or in like that, or farming. Everyone's cool with that. Oh yeah, no, he's we used to call them white collar workers, like that. But they were office worker, you know, he works in an office and all that and stuff like that. Or no, he does practical service, you know, works in service, and so he's doing things. Everybody's cool with that. But if you use the Sanskrit name, then the hairs come up on the back and you know, like that, you know. So but it's just like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, it's just like, that's all it's saying, is that if you're doing intellectual things, this is the standard. You can't try to control the whole thing. You teach the whole thing, you can't control it. If you're an administrator, then you control the whole thing, but you have to do it under the direction of those intellectuals. Like that. If you're the Vaishya, you make as much money as you want, just pay your taxes, take care of your people. Like that. And if you're a Shudra, then do your work nicely. You know, don't just come in and don't do your work and expect to get paid. Do it nicely. Behave nicely. That's all Varnashram's saying. You know, which would make everything work so smoothly. All the problems that are going on now is because they don't follow these things. So it just makes it scientific. So it's already going on. It's just being introduced. That why wouldn't you do in a society that prides themselves on being scientific? Why wouldn't they want to use the scientific method? That's all. So therefore, then the whole point is because they're Vaishnavs, then in the ashram that they're Brahmins. Maybe in their work occupation they may be in another varna, but in the ashram they're living as actual proper Brahmins. Even though in the varna ashram. Ashram means Brahminical, but it's not necessarily people have the Brahminical mentality living in there other than Brahmins. They might, but they might not. But with the Vaishnavs, then the ashram's Brahminical, and they are having the Brahminical mentality. Above that, they're Vaishnavs, you know, the perfect Brahminical. And so therefore, everything socially works very pleasantly. So only when you're interacting with people that aren't there, then you have these particular Sudra Mahajans and, what was it, Arya Vaishyas and things like that. Then you get these kind of titles. But otherwise, within the Vaishnav community, you don't need that. So it doesn't have anything to do with your advancement or this or that. That, yes?
Also, because the goal of each of these Varna, if they are not devotees, is different. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of that, then their ashram aspects will differ from one another.
Yeah.
Because they're having different goals. And
yeah, well, how they'll apply it, yeah, because there's only, ashram is only Brahminical. It's not defined. It means occupations, yeah, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but ashrams, he doesn't have that. But like you said, because of their focus, where they want to go, then they may emphasize those things in their worship. They'll worship demigods or this or that, or they won't worship, and they'll, you know, whatever, like that, due to the realization. So that's the point, is that the ashram side lends itself to anything. So if it's Vaishnav, the whole thing works together as one community. it's not Vaishnavs, then yes, you're going to have all these different aspects, and they're going to say, you know, this one doesn't marry that one, and all that kind of things. Mm-hmm. Hmm? 2:17:61-81. Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to cook all kinds of vegetables gathered from the forest, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to accept these preparations. Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to keep a stock of food grain that would last for 2 to 4 days. Where there were no people, he would cook the grain and prepare vegetables, spinach, roots, and fruits collected from the forest. The Lord was always very happy to eat these forest vegetables, and he was even happier when he had an opportunity to stay in a solitary place. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was so affectionate to the Lord that he was rendering service just like a menial servant. His assistant Brahmana carried the water pot and garments. Right, so he had an assistant. That's as far as we get. His assistant. That's as close as we get. The Lord used to bathe 3 times a day in the warm water of the waterfalls. He also used to heat himself morning and evening with a fire made with the limitless wood. Right, because what falls off the trees, that's what you use. You know, that's the tradition. You don't cut down a tree for wood, you know, for firewood. You don't do that. Because the trees automatically drop so many branches. When you have a forest, they're just constantly dropping branches. Because where it doesn't get sun or this or that, they just drop those. Right? They're smart enough to figure out there's sun on this side, not on this side, so I'm not maintaining this one and grow another one over here. So those you just collect. That's why it says you collect firewood from the forest. Right? And so then they'll be unlimited. Plus, when it falls off, it means it's dry. So it's the wood that's dry. If you cut a tree, it's green. It won't burn anyway. So that's a, you know, it's just, yeah. While traveling in this secluded forest and feeling very happy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the following statement. My dear Bhattacharya, I have traveled very far through the forest, and I have not even slightly received any trouble. Krishna is very merciful, especially to me. He has shown his mercy by bringing me on this path through the forest. Thus he has given me great pleasure. Before this, I decided to go to Vrindavan, and on the way, see my mother, the river Ganges, and other devotees once again. I thought that once again I would see and meet all the devotees and take them with me to Vrindavan. Thus I went to Bengal. And I was very happy to see my mother, the river Ganges, and the devotees. However, when I started for Vrindavan, many thousands and millions of people gathered and began to go with me. Thus I was going to Vrindavan with a big crowd. But through the mouth of Sanatana, Krishna taught me a lesson. Thus, by making some impediment, he has brought me on a path through the forest to Vrindavan. Krishna is an ocean of mercy. He is especially merciful to the poor and fallen. Without his mercy, there is no possibility of happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Balabhadra Bhattacharya and told him, "It is only by your kindness that I am now so happy." Balabhadra Bhattacharya replied, "My dear Lord, you are Krishna himself, and therefore you are merciful. I am a fallen living entity, but you have bestowed a great favor upon me. Sir, I am most fallen, yet you have brought me with you, showing great mercy. You have accepted food prepared by me. You have made me your carrier, Garuda, even although I am no better than a condemned crow. Thus you are the independent personality of Godhead, the original Lord." Quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchidananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge, and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord." Footnote 2. This is a quotation from the Bhavarta Deepika commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 111.
Who wrote those commentaries?
Bhavarta Deepika, that's Sridhar Swami. So he quotes this. You know, so it comes up here. I think it comes up, I mean, there's the original shloka, and then it comes up also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here it comes up. It comes up a few times. And so what Jayapataka Maharaja chants, he puts the three together. No? means what do you call it? What is it? Mukam karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande. That's common for all the verses. Then one is Sri Guru para Dinatardinam. One is Paramananda Madhavam, and one is Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So he says all. He'll say the first three, and then he'll say all those other three. Oh. Like that, if you ever hear him, you know, when he does, then in Mangalacharan or invocation, generally always chants that. Yes. Yes. But he generally, you know, say all the three endings. Because it's three different verses. But he'll put all the three endings together. Yeah, what is it? Sri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda. What is it? Madhavam, I think. Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. I think he's something like that, he says. In this way, Balabhadra Bhattacharya offered his prayers to the Lord. By rendering service unto him in ecstatic love, he pacified the Lord's mind. Verses 82 to 146. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brief visit to Varanasi. 217-82. It seems to be the longer visit on the way back. Going up, it was brief. Finally, the Lord arrived with great happiness in the holy place called Kashi, where he took his bath in the bathing ghat known as Manikarnika, Srila Prabhupada. Kashi is another name for Varanasi, Banaras. It has been a place of pilgrimage since time immemorial. I think they even say it's the longest, a city that's it's been constantly lived at for the longest of any on the planet. You know, the oldest. Because there's maybe, I mean, in their minds, there's cities that may be older, but they've been abandoned. But this one, someone's been living in it the whole time.
The second one after that is Jericho.
Jericho. But here they don't know how long it goes back, so that's the.
I think they said Jericho, like, 1500 years.
Huh?
But Kashi.
Hey, Kashi's always been there. I mean, you hear that king of Kashi is the one that made trouble for Krishna, and Sudarshan went and created a little bit of trouble for him.
And then the citizens were also very proud of their king.
Huh?
Krishna has to
cut
his head off and put in the kingdom so that their pride goes down.
Also, I think Ambalika and Ambika are from there.
Akura
is from there. Okay, yeah. So it's, and that's that. So it's one of those cities that's always been there. Like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.